Well, good morning. If I haven't had a chance to meet you, I am Pastor Travis. I have the privilege of being the senior pastor here at Battlefield Baptist Church. Well, it's a privilege most days anyways. I have the privilege of being the senior pastor here. You've honored us by making worship a priority for you and your family this morning. I'd like to invite you to grab a copy of the Word of God if you bought yours and make your way to Luke chapter 15. If you didn't bring yours, that's okay. Feel free to use one of ours. We have some in the seat back in front of you. We'll also have it up on the screen as well, but we would love for you to be able to engage with us. And so as you're making your way there, I want to point out that it was A.W. Tozer, maybe you'll be familiar with this quote, he famously wrote in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, he said, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." And that's because our view of God, it has consequences at every level for every single individual. And listen, if you want to know the heart of God, if you want to know what God's really like, you'll be able to find it in our passage this morning. You'll be able to find it because this parable that we're going to look at, it has both a mirror, right, to see ourselves, but also it has a window with which we can see through to God. And so our passage this morning, it's the last of three parables, and just for context's sake, we'll read what Jesus has said in response to the scribes and Pharisees, right? They've come and they've levied a complaint against them, and they said in Luke chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "They drew near unto him, all the publicans and sinners, for to hear him." And the scribes and the Pharisees murmured, saying that this man receiveth sinners, and he even eats with them. See, they believed that God hates sinners, that God hates those who are living in open sin. And so they distance, and in distancing themselves and despising people who lived in sin, they actually believed that they were being godly. But Jesus responded to them with three stories. Right? They were earthly stories with very heavenly meanings, as it were, often called parables. And so all three of these parables in this chapter, they work to reveal God's heart for the lost, or God's heart towards the lost. And so last week, we looked at the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin, and we emphasized that every single person matters to God, whether wandering, forgotten, or hidden, everyone matters to God. And so that truth is going to lead us straight into our parable today, or our story for today. It's often called the parable of the prodigal son, or maybe you know it as the parable of the lost son. And so grab your copy of the Word of God, Luke chapter 15, and let me invite you to please stand with me for the initial reading of His Word. Luke 15 will begin in verse 11. This is the word of the Lord. Hear it. Verse 11. "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance on riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and he joined himself unto a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husk of the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came unto himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, I will go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And now his older son was in the field, and he came and he drew nigh into the house, and he heard music and dancing, and he called unto the servants, and he asked what these things meant. And he said unto them, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and he wouldn't go in. Therefore he came out his father to entreat him. And he answered, and he said unto his father, lo, these many years I do serve thee, and I neither transgress thee at any time in any one of thy commandments, and yet you never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son is come home, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And it is meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity we have to be in your house this morning, to be in your word. I pray that you would bless the preaching of your word. Your word promises that if we lift you high, you'll draw all men unto yourselves. And so now, Father, I ask that you would help me as I seek to lift you high. I pray that you would draw all men unto yourselves. If there's one here that's lost this morning, Father, I pray that you would grant them repentance. I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit and through your word, you might both convict them and convince them of their need for you this morning. Father, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor. We pray this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. So it may not have felt like it while you were standing for the reading of the entire thing, but in comparison to other stories in Scripture, this is actually a short story, but it's a beautiful story nonetheless. Right? In this story, we have the parable of the gospel. And so note with me as we walk through this parable, the three experiences of the younger son. And so if you're following along in your sermon notes, look at number one, he rebelled. He rebelled. Look back at verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me a portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divideth unto them his living. And so the younger son, he demanded his inheritance early, right? This was a legal but selfish act. It's certainly not a very loving thing to do on his part, right? It's as if he's saying, I wish that you were dead. Right, I wish that you were already dead. And then he went into a far country thinking that freedom meant that leaving his family behind, leaving God even behind. Look at verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and he took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. Right, the phrase took his journey, it implies to us, right, that he went abroad. Right, he wanted to see the world away from home, away from the confines of Jerusalem, right, from Judea, and even Judaism itself. And so we need to stop right there and ask ourselves, why didn't he stay? Right, why didn't he just stay and spend the money with riotous living? That's what he wanted to do, right? Why didn't he just stay and spend it and come back to his father's house night after night? Well, can I just tell you, that's not really the way that sin works. Right, Romans 3:23, we know it tells us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right, let's not kid ourselves here this morning. 1 John, it tells us that if we say that we have no sin, we've deceived ourselves and that the truth, it isn't in us. Right, so Jesus taught that everyone that does evil hates light. Right, and neither do they want to come into the light lest their deeds should be reproved. So he didn't stay because that's just not the way that sin works. The Bible teaches us that once sin entered into the world in Genesis chapter 3, right, we are now all by nature children of darkness. And just like we talked about last week, all are lost or all have been lost in that darkness. Right, and we don't like to be in light. Because by nature, our deeds, ever since the fall of man, are now evil. And it's just like so many young people, when they go off to college for the very first time, they step on this campus, they're suddenly free of boundaries that they once knew, right? The prodigal son, he ran headlong into sin, Right? He went to the far country where nobody knew his family name, where nobody knew his father, where he knew his father wouldn't see him, where he knew his brothers wouldn't see him. And he wasted his possessions, we're told, on riotous living, wasting everything that the father had given him. Can I tell you that men and women are lost just like sons are lost? Right? It's through rebellion, through pride, through self-will, even through deliberate choice of our own. And so if the sheep was lost in Luke 15 by foolishness and the coin was lost through carelessness, then the son was lost through willfulness. Right? He wanted to have his way, so he rebelled against his own father. Listen to me, Isaiah tells us that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to his own way. But life in the far country, it wasn't what he expected. His resources ran out, right? His friends left him. The famine came, and he's forced to then go and do for a stranger what he refused to even do for his own father up to that point, and that was go to work. Right, that was get a job. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to want. And he went and he joined himself into a citizen of that country, and he sent him to work the fields to feed the swine, and he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Listen, working around pigs was unclean business for the Jew. Right? And it would even seem by the language from the passage that he had to kind of force himself onto this stranger to even get a job this vile. Right, for the man to employ him. And so perhaps this is Jesus' way of emphasizing what sin really does in our lives when we reject the Father's will. You know that sin promises freedom, but it only brings slavery. Right, for Jesus said in John 8:34, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And so what a low, low place this young son has come to. Right, the younger son thought that he was going to find himself, but he only lost himself, because the reality is that when God is left out of our lives, enjoyment often just becomes enslavement. Right? Jesus said, if you seek to find your life, you're going to lose it, but if you end up losing your life for my sake, then you will find it. And so notice he rebelled, but also number two, he then repented. He repented. Look at verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to eat and spare? And I perish with hunger. So to repent, it means to change your mind, right? To turn away from your sin, yes, but to also turn to God. And that's exactly what the young man did. It says he came to himself. Right, that is to say, he came to his senses. He came face to face with the reality of his sin, and he changed his mind, right, about himself, and then he changed his mind about his situation. Right, the phrase he came to himself, it implies to us that up to this moment, he hadn't truly been himself. It was Warren Wiersbe who points out that there is an insanity to sin that seems to paralyze the image of God that's within us, while it liberates the animal inside. And so you've probably heard the old saying that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and yet expecting a different result. And that's exactly what sin does, right? It clouds our thinking. It warps our judgment. It drives us to keep trusting ourselves, even though it's ourselves and our own actions and our own sinful decisions that have gotten us to this point thus far. Right? It's insanity. And listen, a man cannot repent until he sees the insanity of his sin in light of God's goodness. And so notice, he confesses his sin. Look at verse 18. He said, I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Just make me one of your hired servants. Right, he confesses without conditions, without qualifications. He doesn't make excuses. He just offers no explanations. He had sinned, period. You know, the problem with most confessions is that they're primarily express regret for the consequences of sin rather than for the sin itself. So he confesses his sin in sincerity, right? But had he stopped there, he would have only experienced regret and remorse, right? But true repentance, it involves an act of the will as well as of the mind. He says, I will arise and go to my Father, and I will say unto him, right? Listen, our resolutions, no matter how noble they may be, unless they are followed up with actions, they will never in themselves carry us any good. They'll never bring us any good. And so notice, he confesses his sin, but he turned back to the Father. He turned back to the Father. Look at verse 20. And he arose and he came to his Father. But when he was yet a great way off, his Father saw him and he had compassion and he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. A lot of people come to church and they feel convicted. And they pray, and sometimes we cry, and we get emotional, but we never turn back to the Father. And so here Jesus is answering the accusations of the scribes and the Pharisees. He's revealing the heart of God towards the lost. Notice it says, when he was yet a great way off, his Father saw him. He's able to see him off in the distance because he's continually seeking for his son that was lost. Daily, he's outside hoping, praying, seeking for his son to come back, waiting for his return. And the Father runs. He runs to welcome back his son. He had compassion. He ran. He fell on his neck. He kissed him. He didn't scold him. He didn't berate him. He didn't yell at him. He didn't embarrass him. But at the first sign of repentance, God forgives. God forgives the one who turns to him. Listen, in the East, old men don't run. In the West, middle-aged men don't run either, right? We don't run. Yet we find him running. He runs to meet his son. And why? Why? Well, the obvious reason is his love for him and his desire to show his love to his son. But perhaps there's something else even at play here. Listen, the prodigal son had brought disgrace to his family. And he had brought disgrace to his village. And we actually find that according to the Old Testament, if you were to look in Deuteronomy 21, he should have, well, he very well could have and maybe should have been stoned to death for that disgrace he brought to the family. It was Warren Wiersbe who suggested that if the neighbors had started to stone him, they would have hit the father who was embracing him. And listen, what a beautiful picture we have of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Right, the Father here, he pictures the attitude of our Heavenly Father towards sinners who repent. He's rich in mercy and in grace. He's great in his love towards them. Right, Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love he hath had for us, he hath made us alive with Christ. Even though we were dead in trespasses, you are saved by grace. So notice, the son, he rebelled and he repented. And then number three, he was restored. He was restored. Look at verse 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead. He's alive. He was lost and he's found. And they begin to be merry. Right, the robe, the ring, the shoes. I mean, this is full restoration. This isn't servant status. This is more than he could have ever hoped for. He didn't have to crawl back to his father and earn his way in. He didn't negotiate. He simply came to himself. He repented of his sin. He turned back and the father ran to meet him. And that is the gospel in action, right? That is the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? Maybe today you feel like a prodigal. Maybe you feel like you've wandered so far away, you're not sure that the Father would or could even ever take you in. Listen, the good news is that he's already running to meet you. Right, his grace, it's greater than your sin. His arms are open wide. And if you are willing to own your sin, Right? Confess that you've wandered from God. He's willing to receive you. In the very moment that you're willing to come, he is willing and ready to receive you because he delights in forgiveness. Right? I don't care how sinful you've been. I don't care how far you have strayed. I was a 12-time felon. I was sentenced to 18 years in prison. And at the first sign of repentance, the Father will forgive those who are willing to confess. Doesn't matter how far you've strayed, how long you've been gone, if you're willing to come back, God is willing and ready to receive you. Right, but Jesus, he didn't tell this story just for the younger sons. And listen, the younger son speaks to me. Right, I was a bit of a prodigal myself. That speaks to me. He didn't just tell the story for the younger sons, though. Remember who he's speaking to. We gave it the context at the beginning. Right, he's speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees. And so that brings us to the older brother. Because here's the truth. Right, the real heart of this parable is not just found in the lost, but it's found in those who think that they are safe. Those who are near the Father's house. So they think they're safe, they're doing all the right things, but their hearts are actually far from him. Look back at verse 25. It says, now his older son, he's in the field. He came and he drew near the house and he heard music and dancing and he called one of his servants and he asked, he said, what do these things mean? And he said to him, thy brother has come home and thy father has killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, he wouldn't go in. Therefore, his father came out and entreated him. And he answered, he said to his father, lo, these many years I did serve you, neither transgressed I at any commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son has come home, as he has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said to him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for thy brother was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he's found. And so the older brother, obviously it represents the Pharisees listening in. And anybody who thinks that they're close to the Father, but don't actually share his heart. So how do you know if you share God's heart? Well, evaluate your attitude towards those who are still lost in darkness. Right, the elder brothers, he was sinful in his own right. His sin was pride, it was bitterness, it was self-righteousness. And he shows us that, listen, you can be in the Father's house, you can be doing the Father's work, you can be serving the Lord, but you cannot share the Father's heart. And notice Jesus, he leaves the story unfinished. Right, we don't know. Did the older brother ever come inside? Or did he stay outside? Right, because he leaves the Pharisees with this question, and it's a question that I'd really like to leave you with as we're trying to draw to a close this morning. Will you come inside and rejoice with the Father? Or are you going to stay outside in your pride? And so here's the invitation, right? Whether you see yourself in the prodigal, lost in rebellion, or in the elder brother, lost in pride, listen to me. The Father's arms are open wide. Right? It's the same grace that's offered to both. And so the question is, will you come home? Will you lay down your sin? Will you lay down your pride? Will you put aside any excuses and allow the Father to embrace you through Jesus Christ? I pray that you will. Would you bow your heads with me this morning as we enter into just a brief moment of invitation and reflection? Listen to me. If you, like the prodigal son this morning, you've come to yourself, you've come to your senses, and if you're willing to be honest with yourself and with God about your sins, if you're willing to repent from your sin and turn towards the Father, can I just invite you to pray a prayer like this? Right, pray it right where you're at, right where yourself. Because listen, Romans 10, it tells us that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then it goes on to say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so if you're ready to do business with the Lord today, If you've come to yourself and you're willing to be honest about your sin, I'd invite you to pray this prayer, just something like, Father, I come to you just as I am, God. God, I've wandered, I've sinned. God, I've relied on myself instead of you, and I confess my sin to you. God, I ask you for forgiveness, and I thank you for sending Jesus to die for me and to rise again so that I can be restored. God, I turn from my sin, and I surrender my life to you. Come into my heart, Lord. I receive you. I receive your grace. I choose to follow you from this day forward. Amen. And if you're here this morning and you just prayed that prayer, right, if this was the first time you ever came to yourself and repented of your sin, the Bible also tells us, Jesus himself said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, but if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. So I just want to give you that opportunity to confess that decision you made, to turn from your sin today and to turn towards the Father. And so if you place your faith in Jesus Christ this morning, just do something for me. Just look up at me. Just look up. I won't embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out, but I'd love to be able to pray for you. I'd love to be able to pray for you, and I'd love to give you that opportunity to confess that decision you made. Praise God. That's the best decision you can ever make in your life. Praise God. I don't know you, but we've been praying for you. Praise God. Praise God. Are there others all throughout the room? Praise God. I'm going to pray, and in just a minute, we're going to open up the altar for just a brief moment of reflection and invitation. If you have a need, that's a great time for you to come. We'd love to be able to pray with you, to pray with your family. Or if you're here and you say, you know what, Pastor, I'm on the fence. Could you show me more out of the Word of God? I'd love to take the Word of God and show you how you can know for sure that you have a home in heaven today. Or maybe you say, you know what, Pastor, I've never even prayed. Could you just take the Bible? Could you just pray with me? Could you just help me call out upon the name of the Lord? I'd love to be able to do that as well. Let's pray, and then we'll enter into that moment of invitation. God, thank you so much for this opportunity we've had to be in your Word just briefly this morning. God, I thank you for the ones who indicated that they turned from their sin, Lord, and that they've turned to you. God, in a room this size, I'm sure there's others that are on the fence. And so I pray for the one that's on the fence right now, God. I pray that you would continue working and moving in their heart through your Spirit. I pray that you would draw them unto you. Lord, grant them that repentance today. I pray that they would do business with you. God, work and move through this invitation in a way that only you and your Spirit can. We commit this time to you. We pray this in your name. Amen.